2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
All right, welcome into another Jazz Notes podcast. We are talking post-game after, no, not the Jazz, barely losing to the Golden State Warriors. No, we're talking about the Utah Jazz losing to the Memphis Grizzlies tonight, 92-84 at home. Hopefully we'll have more of these post-game Jazz Notes podcast for you in the future. Cleon Wall here. Jeremiah Jensen is also here. Jeremiah was here watching it for KSL TV. I sadly was watching over at the arena for KSL News Radio. Oh man, that was ugly. It was ugly, Jeremiah.
It was a dumpster fire. You know, we learned tonight that all losses are not the same. So I thought it couldn't get worse than losing on a tip-in at the buzzer to the Warriors by a former Jazz player. But tonight, I don't know. I try to gauge what fans are feeling, and tonight feels worse because you at the end of the Warriors game, it was heartbreaking because you had a chance to win that game, but it felt like the Jazz played out of their minds, especially in the first three quarters. Tonight, the Jazz didn't play well at all.
No.
And you knew this game would be different because the Grizzlies, Grind City, they have that different style of play. They're going to be physical. They're going to slow it down. But I felt like the Jazz can play that way. The Jazz played that way a lot last year, and I thought they would match up with them physically. They didn't match up well with them physically. They got out-hustled. They got pushed around a little bit. They were off the mark. They didn't defend well in a lot of spots, and they shot the ball terribly. And it was really disappointing after such a great effort on Friday night with so much energy and juice in the building to have this happen. And now they go on the road for four straight.
You know, Quinn Snyder was asked after the game, they asked him, you know, was the reason why they didn't shoot well, meaning the Utah Jazz, was the reason why they didn't shoot well because, especially down low near the basket, why the Jazz missed so many free throws was because of how Memphis was playing defense. And Snyder said, yeah, they did play good defense, but
The most accurate thing I can say is we weren't, regarding our offense, we weren't making the right reads. You know, we're an unselfish team, and we didn't make the right reads, and you know, we didn't make the extra pass, and we need to. That's something, you know. That's who we are. So it didn't happen the way it needs to tonight, and I'm sure our guys feel the same way I do.
I'm not sure this is a perfect correlation, but there was one point where Ricky Rubio missed, I think, three straight shots, mm-hmm. and two of them were threes, and then right after that, I believe Donovan missed a shot, a layup, right near the basket. And all the Jazz fans right around me were booing.
Yeah.
And I thought, wow. I feel bad for these guys. At first I thought, do those guys hear it down there? And I'm not sure they do. Some guys say, yeah, I don't pay attention to the crowd. Some do. But, I mean, that kind of encapsulated it right there, what Quinn Snyder was talking about. We did not make the extra pass in this game. We were selfish at sometimes, and I think the guys would agree with me. And that probably sums it up the best. He really liked how the Jazz played defense. He did not like how they played offense at all.
Yeah, the offense was bad tonight, and it's because the ball's sticking. You know, Utah's offense depends on that ball moving, that motion offense, and everybody getting involved. And when everyone's touching the ball like that, you know, Quinn Snyder talks about putting them in a blender. Get the ball moving, get the defense having to move. Then it creates easy buckets, and it creates opportunities for different guys. Well, the ball's been sticking lately. It started in that fourth quarter against Golden State. You know, after they had that great run, great second quarter, they were up even in the third. And then at the end, the ball, they were taking early shots. They were taking bad shots. The ball wasn't moving like it was. There was a little bit of ISO going on, especially with Donovan. And you saw a little bit of that tonight where the ball just wasn't moving. It's got to move. They have to play a certain way offensively in order to have success. And they're getting away from that. And they really got away from that tonight. And that's what he's alluding to is they have to play unselfishly in order to have success offensively. And they got away from that tonight.
They don't have the stars. They can't be like, and I know Golden State plays a beautiful style of basketball. I really like how Golden State plays.
Golden State, they move the ball well too, right?
Yeah, exactly. They move the ball. But if something happens where it gets stuck, it helps to have a star. And the Jazz, right now, other than a Donovan Mitchell, who didn't play well, especially in the second half. He played well in the first half, but they just don't have that guy that – and if I'm going to go back to the Warriors, example there, if Steph Curry has an off night, you know, you can always maybe have Kevin Durant bail you out or Klay Thompson.
Yeah.
Right now, the Jazz, they need to play like the way you're talking about because they don't have those guys that are going to usually bail them out of a bad night of offense. They have to almost force their will on people to play unselfish basketball. And right now they didn't do that in the game. And they, as you said, they didn't do it in the fourth quarter the other night against the Warriors. And I guess that's, I think that's why a lot of people are saying, or I will say this, okay, not a lot of people, I will say that's why the Jazz struggle right now is just because they don't have that star that can bail them out if the offense is not willing to move the ball around. And yeah, it's just kind of disheartening right now. And I don't know. I talked to Ricky Rubio afterwards. We were all talking to Ricky Rubio. But Ricky, he only shot 1 for 8 in this game. And he was talking about how there was no rhythm. So I asked him, does he feel like personally responsible since he's the starting point guard of this team?
I think it's the whole team. I feel like I get good passes out of pick and rolls and get people involved. But it was one of those nights that the ball didn't want to go in.
And even though I sorry about that little bleed over right there, but even though I asked him that question, I was curious. That's not how I feel about this team because this team's offense doesn't run through just one point guard. This isn't a John Stockton offense.
No,
this is
not.
Totally different.
No, this is not a point guard bringing the ball up for 10 seconds, dribbling around, run a pick and roll, and throw it to the guy that's going to be your main scorer. The ball has to move. It has to get around to different guys, and it didn't. I mean, I just talked about it. It's just – and then, it's sometimes it's just not your night, okay? So even if the ball's moving around, I guess guys miss shots, but everybody missed shots tonight. Go through the stats there. Who shot the ball well tonight? I mean, the starter shot 33%, right?
The two best players tonight shooting, Rudy Gobert was 4 for 6, but okay. Man, he had some ugly misses. And those two misses that he had were not pretty.
He's scoring on lobs,
yeah,
and at the rim. He's supposed to. He should shoot 4 for 6. Who else?
Jay Crowder was 4 for 7.
Okay, that's
so
good.
He had a good night. Grayson Allen was only 2 for 2, and we're going to talk about Grayson in a little bit, and then Royce O'Neal was 2 for 4, so it was pretty much everyone on the bench. But Dante Exum, man, he struggled tonight.
It was rough.
2 for 11. Donovan Mitchell, 6 for 17. Joe Ingles, 4 for 13. Derek Favors, 3 for 11. And as I mentioned, Ricky Rubio, 1 for 8.
Okay, there you go. That's basically five guys that shot well below their average. And you're playing a team that's really good defensively. And it's funny, the Jazz were still in it there, halfway through the fourth quarter until Shelvin Mack got caught on fire. The Jazz still had their chances in that game and shot that poorly. 35% from the field, 25% from the three-point line after they shot so well against the Warriors. It's frustrating. It's disheartening. And they've got to get back and look at some film. And I think Quinn Snyder's on to it right there. They've got to get back to playing Jazz basketball, which is moving that ball. Everyone touches it. Everyone gets a chance to feel that basketball, get it moving again. That ball's got to move.
Quickly before we take a break, and it'll be a brief break, but before we do that, Donovan Mitchell was actually 5 for 8 in the first half.
Yeah.
And as I said, he ended up 6 for 17. That's how poorly he shot in the second half. He also had 6 turnovers on the night. He led the team in turnovers. I asked him, though, because in the first two games of the season, he shot under 50% in both games. And I understand. He's a guard. I know he's not going to shoot 50%. That's kind of like the goal right there is to shoot that. But I know he's not going to – he still needs to kind of work up to that. But I asked him, did you start feeling at least a little better, like you were playing a little bit better in that first half, like things were just starting to move your way? And this is what he said.
Just started slowing down. I really didn't think the looks in the second half were any different from the first. Just missed a lot of shots, a lot of easy shots, and it kind of was the story for the game for all of us.
By the way, thank you for that guy who cleared his throat right there. So, yeah, it was just one of those things where they weren't making shots. But it's not that. Sometimes it's the quality of the shots you take. Yeah. And I think the starting backcourt tonight, in a lot of ways, took some really poor shots or missed some easy shots near the rim. And Donovan is having a tough time finishing near the rim right now.
Yeah, I think he started pressing a little bit. You're down, and it gets in that fourth quarter there, and the Grizzlies hit a couple threes, and all of a sudden you're down 10, and you're starting to force things, you're starting to press, and it kind of adds up. I think you saw Donovan when he was going to the rim and he wasn't getting calls. He was doing too much of trying to get a call, looking at the refs, at, you know, throwing his hands up in the air. That's not how Donovan plays the game of basketball when he's really at his best. He doesn't. He's not going in there looking for a call. He's going in there looking to attack and make a shot. And so that was a little concerning. The offense just wasn't going, and Donovan didn't have it going in that second half. And, you know, looking around, looking for calls, that's not Jazz basketball. They got to be more aggressive. And, you know, somebody's got to provide a spark there. And it just didn't happen tonight. There was nobody there until it was too late. Grayson Allen, we'll talk about him later on, but maybe he was that guy, but it was just way too late.
And you're going to look at the refs a lot more when you play a team like the Memphis Grizzlies,
yeah,
because they are so physical.
Mm-hmm.
And I tweeted out a couple times tonight. I offended some Memphis Grizzly basketball fans tonight. A couple of them tweeted
oh,
back
no.
at me because I said, Memphis Grizzlies, where beautiful basketball goes to die.
Yeah.
So, yes, I offended a few guys tonight, and they tweeted at me. And I tweeted back at them, and I said, and this is basically the heart of what I want to say. You have to look at your team and see what your strength is. Memphis knows what their strengths are. They are playing to their strengths, and they beat the Utah Jazz by playing to their strengths tonight. Is it nice-looking basketball? No, it's not. But as long as you win, who cares?
Yeah.
We all know that. We've all played basketball. You look at the guys around you and say, this is how we need to play tonight if we're going to be successful. Memphis knows exactly who they are, and they played to their strengths, and they beat the Utah Jazz tonight. So, you know, there you go. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break, just as I said. After this, we're going to talk more about Grayson Allen. Kind of a bittersweet night for him right in here on the Jazz Notes podcast. All right, welcome back into the Jazz Notes podcast. I'm Cleon Wall. Jeremiah Jensen joining me here. Jazz about ready to embark on a five-game road trip. Hopefully there aren't any tricks.
Yeah,
but
been enough
of tricks
so far.
Yeah, exactly. 1-2. By the way, it was quite funny to me tonight.
Yeah.
I'm sitting there at the arena, and I'm tweeting out as much as I can, and the Jazz are down by, I believe it was still double digits late in the game before they made their little run to try and make it interesting. So it's late in the game, and Sports Illustrated tweets out. They said, here's our latest power rankings. The Jazz have something to be happy about. And I retweeted, and I said, I guess they're not watching this game right now. So, and they ranked the Jazz number 4. And the way they looked after that Golden State game, and I thought we were going to come in and talk about how well they played in that Golden State game, how amazing it was. But instead, all we're talking about is the Jazz Revenge Tour. We've got Jonas Jerebko the other night. And then, by the way, one real quick thing before we get to Grayson Allen. Wasn't it just kind of funny? Okay, it was funny to me that Shelvin Mack comes in and buries 2 3-pointers on the Jazz. And I'm just like, wait, is that Shelvin Mack out there burying 2 3-pointers?
And that ended up being the difference. I mean, it was a 6-point game with under a minute to play. Those threes that he made were the difference in this game, in my opinion. It really, the Jazz were playing tight there. They were only down by about 4 or 5. And then he goes out there and hits a couple threes. All of a sudden, it's a double-digit lead, and it's all of a sudden crunch time. Jazz start pressing. Completely different ball game. Give him some credit. And I keep really good track of free agents, at least I thought, until today. I had no idea he played for the Grizzlies until I went over to do my live shot tonight, and he's out there warming up. I'm like, oh, wow, Shelvin plays for the Grizz. And sure enough, he got out there tonight, and he had a nice ball game, and he helped the Grizz beat the Jazz. Yeah, the revenge tour continues for a couple of former Jazz men.
Good thing they aren't going to see any former Jazz men. Someone tweeted this out. I can't take credit for this. Someone tweeted out, hey, it's a good thing that the Houston Rockets have no former Jazz men because they would be in big trouble.
Maybe they can re-sign Joe Johnson before Wednesday night. Somebody's got to fill in for Chris Paul, right?
Exactly. Hey, Grayson Allen plays his first NBA real game NBA, first regular season NBA game tonight. Begins inauspicious. He picks up a foul, and it's not just that. It's a clear path foul, so it was 2 points and the basketball. But then he's called on late in the game to give the Jazz some spark. And that's what he said. He said, they didn't warn me at all. They just said, Grayson, and he went in the game. And the first basket he makes is a 3-pointer, and it was a beauty, too. They swung the ball around to him, and that's what someone asked about him making his first 3-pointer in his now brand-new NBA career.
It felt good. Felt better because I had the free throws before, so as a shooter, it kind of helps with the touch getting in. It helps with your confidence a little bit, but in that kind of play, the ball was swung around, and so it's a rhythm shot. It's a real easy one. I think it went from the opposite corner all the way around the top back to me. So those kind of plays, the ball usually goes in.
Did he earn more time tonight, Jeremiah?
Yes. Yeah. I think Quinn Snyder called on him, and you have a rookie who didn't play in the first two games. So you wonder, when you call on him, is he going to be ready? Is he going to be engaged? Is he going to know what's going on? Can he provide us anything? And he went out there in a tough situation and with a lot of pressure on him, and he knocked down a three, and he made a fantastic dunk, and he was good defensively. I mean, the clear path foul was a mistake, but he was good, and he gave a spark. They rallied. They got to within six when he was in the game there. And, yeah, I think he did earn some minutes. Now, how much? I mean, that depends. And, you know, he's probably going to have some ups and downs when he gets a shot, but he got a shot tonight. He made the most of it, and he made an impression. And people knew he was out there when he was out there. That impressed me. So I think he did earn some minutes. How much did he earn? I don't know. It'll be interesting to see if he gets in the game on Wednesday in Houston, but I liked what I saw from him.
He played 10 and a half minutes tonight, 2 for 2 from the field, 1 for 1 from the three, from the line, or excuse me, 2 for 2 from the field, 2 for 2 from the line, 1 for 1 from the 3-point line. 7 points, you know, nothing completely dramatic, but again, it's interesting that they called on him late because they needed something there. I will also tell you, being in the arena, and you've probably heard this before, there's a different feel when guys get introduced coming into the game. Every time Grayson came into the game, there is a huge roar. The Jazz fans have accepted Grayson Allen. When he made that three-pointer, massive roar. When he made that dunk, an even bigger roar in the arena. I think the Jazz fans want to see him more out there. Now, I know that's not going to be the reason that he plays.
Oh, yeah, Quinn's like, oh, yeah, okay, well, if fans like him, let's throw him out there.
But let me just say, he's already got big fans here in Utah, so that's going to be favorable to him. So it's nice to see him start out his first game and play well. Maybe not perfectly, but play well. Now he knows what it's like. And you're right, he's going to have ups and downs. I mean, 7 points isn't amazing, but he's actually one of two guys that played tonight that actually was in the plus side of plus minus. Mm. The only other guy tonight was Joe Ingles. Those were the only two guys that had positive numbers.
That's surprising.
In plus minus. So good for Grayson Allen. I think he said afterwards, I want to look at the film a little bit more. I want to see what things I did good, what things I did bad. He's very much, you know, he's very patient. He knows that he hasn't arrived yet, I guess I could say.
Yeah, but he did earn some trust tonight. I think he did that. I was impressed.
A little concerning that this is the second of three games, not so much that they lost, but this is the second of three games in which Ricky Rubio did not finish the game. And it's not because they were being blown out or that they were blowing some team out. They just didn't finish the game because he didn't play well. Is that really concerning to you? Especially, he did have one game, that game against Golden State on Friday night. Mm-hmm. He played excellent that night. Is it a little concerning, though? I know we're early in the season, but is it a little concerning that he's not finishing games right
now? Yeah, first, let me just say, overall, don't hit the panic button. It's game three. I mean, it's frustrating because the expectations are so high for this team. And I think the expectations, sorry to get away from your question, I just wanted to kind of just had the thought there that, you know, it's too early to panic, especially about Donovan Mitchell. I think it's easy to panic about Donovan. He hasn't played well the first three games. He's not playing at a star level like we expected him to. I think he's going to get it figured out. Now to Ricky, same thing. Ricky started rough last year. And I don't know what the deal is this year, but yeah, it's been rough. He missed some easy shots again. It was just like Sacramento. Came out and he just was a little slow and couldn't finish at the rim, and the passes weren't as crisp. He fixed it against the Warriors. Now here we go again, the next game, back to the way it was before. It was kind of like how he played at the beginning of last year, the first few games, you know, first 20 or 30 games last year. So that's concerning to me. You know, you were hoping that Ricky, it just took some time to figure out last year how to run in this offense, how to figure out his place in this offense, you know, because he's ball dominant in Minnesota. So he had to go to that motion offense. But here we are again, kind of feeling like the beginning of last year. That is concerning to me. Hopefully he can break out of this. And you know what? Maybe the Jazz going on the road will be good for this team to kind of, I don't know, last year it kind of galvanized them when they went on the road and won in Detroit and they lost that game in Atlanta. It's kind of a thing where they rallied around each other. Maybe this early in the season it's good for these road games. The schedule's brutal. It's tough for them early. And that's why 1-2 hurts so much, because they're going to go on the road here. Maybe this comes at a good time. Maybe they can rally around each other. Some bonding needs to take place here, and they can all of them can get back on track and be the team that they want to be and that they know they could be.
Houston coming up Wednesday won't have Chris Paul because of the fisticuffs the other night. By the way, did you see that?
Oh, I've seen it. I've I can't even tell you how many times I've seen it.
I'm writing an email to someone Saturday night, and I've got the game on my phone. And all of a sudden, I go, "Oh my goodness, yeah. There are punches thrown!" And I'm like, "Oh, give me my phone!" I'm like reaching for it. I'm like, "What is going on?" I'm like, "Come on, where's the replay? Where's the replay?"
It's an all-timer.
Yeah, that was. Can I say entertaining? That
oh well,
was.
Yeah,
it was really entertaining.
It was more entertaining than a lot of boxing matches you'll see. There was spitting. There was poking in the eye. There was, all kinds of stuff going on there. It was wild.
Fine.
Yeah, there was conspiracy theories. Did he spit? Did he not spit?
Yeah.
I mean, we're slowing video down to determine if there was a second spitter. It was crazy.
It's like Seinfeld all over again.
Pretty much.
With Keith Hernandez. But no Keith Hernandez in this game.
From the grassy knoll.
No Chris Paul coming up on Wednesday night. What are you thinking about this game? It's a dicey game because even though they don't have Chris Paul, they're still really good.
Yeah. They won last year without Chris Paul. There was times where he was hurt. They were able to win, and I think one or two of those games were against the Jazz. So I hate to be pessimistic here, but the way the Jazz are playing right now, they're not going to win in Memphis on Wednesday. They've got to figure some things out. And
you mean win in Houston?
Sorry,
no, it's okay.
Yeah,
nope.
Still stuck on Memphis. They're not going to win in Houston if they played like they did tonight. And I'm not just talking about poor shooting. I'm talking about the way they're playing offensively. They've got to fix that. They've got to play better team basketball in order to have any chance of winning in Houston, because James Harden's good. They got enough offense down there. The Jazz have got to go down there and get back to playing the way that they need to play in order to get that offense going, because Houston's a good basketball team.
Funny thing about the Jazz after their five-game road trip, first team they play when they come back, I believe it's the Memphis Grizzlies.
Yeah, payback.
Could be some more ugly basketball. Yep, I'm offending more Memphis basketball fans again. That's what I'm
okay.
Here for. Hey, thanks for listening to the Jazz Notes podcast, downloading us, hearing us, and let us know what you think. Subscribe to the podcast and then write a review. Let us know what you think about the podcast. Of course, you can find us on Apple Podcasts. You can also find us on the KSL News Radio app and Stitcher, all those places. Let us know what you think. Make sure you follow Jeremiah Jensen at JJ Sportsbeat. That's his Twitter handle. My Twitter handle at KSL Clam. We'll be at more games this year. We'll be breaking down more things after games as the season goes along. I think I'm tired. I'm slurring my speech. The Dr. Pepper is getting to me tonight.
Oh, yeah. After that one, we all need to go to bed. Rough night tonight.
All right. Thanks a lot. We'll talk to you soon.